It's 9 a.m., time for the only Garden Talk radio show in Milwaukee. Tell your friends, the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener is on the air. Join us and let's grow together.
Coming up on the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener radio show, we're about to kick off season two.
We're going to talk about reasons why you shouldn't buy seeds off of websites like Amazon and eBay.
As well as starting seeds indoors, what you need to know to do it successfully, and what not to start indoors.
A new author from California, Emily Murphy, will be interviewing her.
As well as your questions are always welcome. The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener radio show is on the air. It starts right now.
Welcome to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener radio show with your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird, some of the realest gardeners that you'll ever know, always willing to share their knowledge, mistakes, and working to grow together. Founders of the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com that contains over 1,100 garden videos to show and teach others to grow some of what they eat. Join them for the next hour as they cover practical gardening information that has worked for them and more. Now here they are.
Welcome to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener radio show, wherever you may be, however you may be listening, whether on 860 AM WNOV or W293 CX 106.5, through the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com website, social media, simple app, TuneIn app, wherever you may be, we are happy that you are along with us. I am your host, Joy Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
Behind the WNOV 860 AM microphones here live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. If you want to be part of the program, you can do that in a variety of different ways. You can call us on the Ivy Organics 3-in-1 Plant Guard hotline, and you can do that by...
Ivy Organics 3-in-1 Plant Guard naturally protects plants against damaging sunburn, insects, and rodents, protects newly installed plants and trees, shields pruned and damaged surfaces for use on your roses, fruit, and nut trees, ornamental trees, and shrubs. This product is non-toxic, environmentally safe, and organic. For more information, visit ivyorganics.com, and that's 414-444-5250. And we are glad to be back.
Yes, I've been away for 124 days. Happy to be back with you. And you can also do a couple of ways. You can also contact us by tweeting us at hashtag TWVG, or our Twitter handle is TWVGShow. On Twitter, so you can do that as well. If you'd like to sign up for a weekly email, you can just tweet, you can text 345-345. You can text TWVG to that and sign up for our email there. Well, we do a number of talks throughout the year, and we've got a lot of talks, 31 so far this year, and you can come see us at Franklin Public Library this Tuesday, March the 6th, on the basics of seed starting at 7 o'clock. If you'd like to come see us there, it's free of charge. We'll take you through the steps of seed starting and what you need to know, and we'll go a little bit over that in the second segment of the program here. But if you want to know where we will be at, where you will be at, you can find all of that under the Come See Us tab on the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener website. WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, and you can go from there. And if you have a garden group talk, you can certainly get a hold of us through the speaking request tab on the website and contact us there. We've got all of our topics that we cover and we talk about. We can specifically get one signed up, create one just for you. Well, Ollie, let's talk about some of the importance here of seed starting, or reasons why you don't want to buy your seeds from websites like Amazon and eBay before we seed start.
Right. So we have a friend in Tennessee, and he has done some YouTube gardening videos. I don't know if he does them as much anymore. But he made this video about how he bought some seeds from, I think they were like Turkey or Romania or something, off of eBay. And they were some garden seeds, and he got them in the mail, and then not too long after, a USDA, so United States Department of Agricultural, a USDA agent came to his house, knocked on his door, and was like, I need those seeds you bought. What did you do with them?
Yes, we'll get into that story more in a moment, but first let's talk about one of the main reasons why you don't want to buy seeds off of sites like eBay and Amazon. They're great sites for other things, but when it comes to seeds, a lot of it is gimmicks and scamming. So what, you know, if you see a blue watermelon or blue strawberries or rainbow roses, it's too good to be true because those things don't exist in real life.
Right. So they're, like blue strawberries, blue watermelon, red cucumber, giant foot-long peppers, things like that. And exactly, they do not exist. And you want to do some research. If it seems like this might actually be a thing, then go online, do some research, and see if people actually have grown them.
And this is not just across the United States. It's a worldwide deal because anybody can create anything on any editing program, put it online, and get people to send money to them, and they can send you whatever they have available, and it's not even viable seeds, not even real seeds, not even the seeds that you want to get. So there's a lot of scams out there, not only in the world, but in the gardening community as well.
Right, so definitely you want to avoid to be impulsive. You might think, wow, this is cool, I can have a blue watermelon. And then you're clicking and all of a sudden you spent $5 and you may or may not get seeds and you definitely are not going to get blue watermelons.
And when you do, what you do is you complain to the website, whoever, the complaint department, and what do they do? Well, you probably are not going to get your money back. They're going to probably shut down that page. And what does the creator of that page do? Creates another page and puts the stuff back on there and has some crazy name like Worldwide Gardener 775531, and he or she is selling the scam seeds again. So you want to be smart about your purchases. Now, MI Gardener is a sponsor of the program here. They have 450 varieties of flowers, vegetables, and herb seeds, and they do not sell to their customers unless they have physically tested the germination rate of their seeds, which means what percentage of seeds out of 100 germinate. Not all seeds are 100% germination, but there's a criterion which they've set for their company, as well as they've grown them the year before to make sure that they grow the way they're supposed to grow and there's no issues with them before they sell them to you and I.
So what basically what Joy is saying is that you need to have a reliable seed source. Just because it's for sale on like eBay or Amazon doesn't make it reliable. So something like MI Gardener is a reliable seed source.
There's plenty of other ones.
It's not just MI Gardener,
so,
but...
like, and that goes back to not being impulsive. Make sure you do a little bit of research.
So with that, yeah, do research and have common sense too. I don't think there is such a thing as a blue watermelon or blue strawberries or foot-long peppers. Let me see. And yeah, there's not really those things existing. So be smart about the purchase that you want to make. So have a reliable source, and let's talk about the United States Department of Agriculture agent that came to our friend's door. And the reason why he came to our friend's door was because our friend bought bamboo seeds. He bought bamboo seeds from a source that was legal in Ohio, and he also bought bamboo seeds from a source in Turkish China, somewhere in that region of the world. And the ones that he bought across seas were not legal to be purchased or brought into the United States. Now you're thinking, well, why can't we just shut that down? Why isn't the the border agencies catch this and just prevent it from even coming in the country?
Well, you need a permit to sell these seeds across over from different countries. However, when they're sorting the mail or sorting the post or the packages or whatnot, they're not going to necessarily take the time to check everybody's permits.
But billions of items are coming across the customs every moment.
But later on, they're going to come across and think,
okay, I'm going to check these permits to check the situation out. And it turns out that it's not that company or that whoever sold those seeds did not have a permit. And then they find this out and they
come and get them.
Right. They purchase. Now, our friend did not have those seeds planted yet. He was going to fiddle around with them that following winter. So I am not certain of what would have happened. He was going to grow them in containers. So if he would have actually went to his property and planted them in the woods somewhere, I don't know what the end result would have been. Most likely the agency would have brought a team out and excavated those from that.
There's a lot of stories on this online like this about people who have had their seeds confiscated by the USDA. So I think the turnaround is actually kind of quick, where you get the seeds and then within a few days they're knocking on your door.
Right, but you got to, you're not going to get your money back. That's not going to happen. You've lost your money. You've lost these seeds in which you thought you were going to purchase legal, illegal, real seeds, real bamboo seeds from Turkish or China or not. So you want to keep that in mind when it comes to buying your seeds. Again, when it comes to it, be common sense. Is this a legitimate item in which you can grow in your garden? MI Gardener, he does a lot of videos each year, and he did a video on, he actually went on one of these generic sites. He went on,
I think it was like almost Amazon or something, for blue strawberry seeds.
He wanted to show what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. He wanted to make this prevalent to his viewers and people in the gardening community.
So he spent like $5 or whatever, and he purchased some blue strawberry seeds.
No such thing.
And when they came, they basically looked like, to me, they looked like coriander seed, which is how you grow cilantro, so like a cumin type seed. And that's what they looked like to me. There's a definite difference between a strawberry seed and a coriander seed.
And he was not, he knew what he was getting into, but you could tell the frustration which he had.
And they weren't labeled, they were in this little plastic baggie. It was a little shady too.
Yeah.
So be smart about it, buy from a reliable source, and make your gardening season much more enjoyable, and save the money from going to some place that's not a reliable source. When we come back, we're going to talk about the reliable source of starting your seeds indoors off the right way, right after this.
Use Twitter to reach Joey and Holly at TWVGShow or hashtag TWVG.
Mycorrhizae is a beneficial fungus from PlantSuccessOrganics.com that will greatly increase your plant's germination ability and healthier root structure. You can increase seed sprouting, root growth, and general plant germination. Mycorrhizae can be used with hydroponic root cutting, seed sprouting, coco core, and soil. PlantSuccessOrganics.com carries powder, granule, and tablet form of mycorrhizae. Increase the level of mycorrhizae in your soil to give your plant the optimal opportunity to produce incredible harvests. For more information and to purchase, visit PlantSuccessOrganics.com.
Wouldn't you love to get more from your growing space? By utilizing the square foot garden method and properly spacing your plants, Seeding Square will optimize and organize your veggie garden to grow more greens and less weeds. The square foot color-coded seed spacer is a great tool for any garden, ground container, or raised bed, and all experience levels, even little green thumbs. For more information, visit SeedingSquare.com. Seeding Square is gardening made simple.
Shield and Seal vacuum sealers and the highest quality vacuum sealing products, unique black and clear in all black bags, protecting your produce and product better than traditional bags. Find out more at ShieldandSeal.com. Zazz Products, offering great quality supplements that can help personal health and increase longevity. Committed to bringing you the highest quality products at the lowest price. Find out more at ZazzProducts.com.
How many different varieties of tomatoes are there in the world? This garden fun fact is sponsored by MinerTea.com. Get your 3-pack today. Drop the tea bag in water, let steep, then feed your soil, not your plant. 100% organic? Find out more at MinerTea.com. Always free shipping. It's hard to nail down exactly how many different varieties are in the world. The United States Department of Agriculture says that there are about 25,000 different varieties of tomatoes. Other sources cap that number at around 10,000. Either way, that's a lot of tomatoes.
I want a garden center that listens to and understands my needs.
I want to buy my gardening products from a local business with strong ties to the community.
All I want is a garden center that truly values their customers.
It seems like everyone is selling plants these days, but I'm having a hard time finding quality.
I take pride in my garden, so I want my garden center to take pride in their products.
Where will you be going for all of your gardening needs this season?
Blue Mel's Garden Center. We are your answer.
Blue Mel's, 4930 West Loomis Road, 414-282-4220.
The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show is brought to you by the following: Haas Tools, Tree Diaper, Root Maker, Seeding Square, Rebel Green, Dripping Springs Oya, Zazz Products, Shield and Seal, Pomona Universal Pectin. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support.
The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener your home for Garden Talk Radio with your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
Welcome back to the program. You know, in life, when you do anything, having the right tools makes all the difference in the world. Whether you're making, you're doing landscaping, or you're doing auto repair, or growing plants indoors, you need to have the right type of light in order to make that happen. And Happy Leaf LED has what you need in order to make that success happen.
This segment is sponsored by Happy Leaf LED grow lights, proudly made in the USA. A grow light for beginners or advanced indoor gardeners. They have universal LED recipe. That means you just turn it on and watch your leafy greens, herbs, and vegetables, any plant really, grow and thrive. It's an anywhere, anytime garden. A professional-grade grow light with a home gardener's affordability. No fans, no motors, just plug it in and grow. Find out more and visit happyleaf.com and use code WVG at checkout to save 5% on orders of $50 or more.
So when we talk about starting seeds indoors, I want to start out by saying, no, you do not need a grow light. But grow lights make a tremendous difference in the production of the plants. So when it comes to that, there's some things that we need to know about starting seeds indoors and some things we need to not do when it comes to starting seeds indoors.
Yep. So one thing you want to do is obviously have proper light, like the Happy Leaf LED light, or you could even do something like we did a bi window for a long time.
A west facing window. Mm-hmm. A south facing window is preferred. Big bay window would be the ideal preference, but we want to have enough light on these plants. And the reason why is if your plants are leggy, this is a problem. We'll talk about that in the morning, in a minute, but starting your seeds indoors can be a challenge for so many, for a few reasons, and we're going to go over that. Improper light, improper or the bad soil, bad nutrients, or just not understanding the level of which the plant needs to grow. And we use a good potting mix. You have to have start with a good potting mix in order to get your seeds started off right. We use Kellogg's Garden products, and that's available at your local Home Depot. They're a sponsor of our video series, but they're a phenomenal product that has a slow-release fertilizer, and that's key because these plants are going to sit in the cell or the cup for a number of weeks, and you need to supplement them with some type of nutrients in order for them to grow successfully.
Right, and, you know, you might be out and about, like, for example, at the local drugstore, and you'll see some 1 cubic bags of soil. I say that with sarcasm, for like a buck or something, right? And you're like, oh, this is a good deal. I can start my seeds in it. I'm just starting seeds. Who cares? Well, we did that once, and there's a reason why it's a dollar.
Yeah, it's basically you're growing in sand, very very loose, granular mess. There's no, basically no soil in it whatsoever.
Right.
The water just permeates through it, just runs through it like it's a sieve. So there's a reason why, and you want good potting mix to retain moisture, to hold nutrients, as well as to get your plant off right.
Definitely.
We've talked about the light. We've talked about good soil. We've talked about the good seeds that we're purchasing, the reliable seeds that you know if you buy a pepper seed, it's going to be a pepper plant of the variety in which you want it to be. So other things that you need to know is temperature. Temperature is the important part of this whole thing. Outside, when it's warm, seeds are going to germinate when the soil is warm enough. Indoors, you want your temperature of your grow area to be about 68 to 72 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, if you're in an unclimatized greenhouse, basement, or room, then you want your temperature, you need to supplement that warmth with something. It could be a heat mat. That's an additional expense, but you need that root system to be warm enough in order for those seeds to germinate. If the soil is wet and the soil is cold and you have seeds in there, the seeds are not going to germinate very well. And some instances, they will rot in the soil, just like if you put them outside too early. They're going to sit there and rot in the soil.
Right. So then you want to think about what you're going to start.
And when you're going to start it. When you come to starting seeds indoors, it's based on the frost date, the last average frost date in which you have in your area. So we want to talk about that. And you can find every variety has a different duration of period prior to that last average frost date in which you want to start those.
Right. So you want to think about that. Like, we've already started our onion seeds because those take longer to develop. Sometimes you might not know, so you just do some different research. There's different resources online. Like, for example, with our tomato seeds, we figured out when we should start them now versus when we first started tomato seeds, we started them way too early.
Right. 6 to 8 weeks before your last average frost date for the tomatoes. And then you want to, that doesn't mean when the frost date comes and goes, if the frost date was tomorrow, you can put them in the ground. That's not what that is representing. It has to be warm for those to be placed out, because if you place them out too early, they're going to not survive. Now, there are some plants, your cool weather crops, your onions, your leeks, your greens, your cauliflower, broccoli, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, that you can put out earlier that are tolerable of those cooler night temperatures than your warm weather summer crops. So you want to know that, and we're not going to go through all the list of here's all the things and when you should start them. Based on what you're wanting to grow, then you can start those at the appropriate time. Now, you don't have to start your seeds indoors. You can go to Blue Mel's Landscape and Garden Center and buy everything you need there. The disadvantage to doing that is the selection is not going to be as broad as if you were going to buy your own seeds and start your own plants. Like we heard in the last break, the Garden Fun Fact, there's about 10 to 25,000 different varieties of tomatoes available in the world, not all commercially available. But let's say there's, pick a number, 4,000 varieties available commercially from seed. Well, you're not going to get even 40 varieties or 50 varieties available at your local garden center. So this gives you a much broader sense of what you can start indoors, and you can be more selective of, hey, I like this, I like that, I don't like this.
Right. So even if you buy seedlings or start your own seeds, you want to make sure you're starting the right seeds and not starting some seeds. For example, like root crops, beets, radishes, help me out here with some root crops.
Beets,
radishes.
Turnips.
Rutabaga. All those are root crops. Carrots. Yeah, you don't want to start those seeds. You don't want to start those seeds inside. It doesn't make sense. It's not efficient.
And the disruption of the transplant, when you transplant those plants outdoors, you're going to disrupt the roots, and the roots will not grow as they're intended. Plus, the speed of which the plant will germinate outdoors at the appropriate time when you plant it outdoors, and let's say you plant one of these root crops indoors and 2 weeks ahead of when you were going to plant it outdoors. If you're able to successfully transplant it outdoors, which is just tedious, and you plant that same seed outdoors at the same time that two-week-old sprout that you plant at the same time, in about 3 weeks they're going to be the same size. So just save your time, plant directly, which they call as direct sow, and put them outdoors. And again, you're going to disrupt the roots. You'll see YouTubers, and we've tried this before with beets. They say, oh, you can put beets out, start beets in trays, transplant them out. There's a whole process in which it's just easier to drop that seed in the ground than it is to put it in a container, harden it off. We'll talk about that in a moment here, and then get it to grow outdoors. So we want things to be simple, and we've made the mistake, so you don't have to. Let's talk about what hardening off is and the mistakes that people make when it comes to that. And this does not apply if you buy your starts from a garden center.
So hardening off is basically where you get your seedlings acclimated to being outside. So for the week before you're going to put them outside, the first day you might put them out for a couple hours.
In shade.
The second day a few more hours, and then you just kind of increase the time as you get closer to when you're going to put them and actually transplant them outside.
If you transplant them out, just take them today, bring them out of the grow room, put them in the ground, what happens is they go into tremendous shock. It's just like you jumping in an ice-cold lake. You may be able to recover from that, but when you go and take a small plant in a grow area, in your grow room that's 72 degrees, and you take it outside and that nighttime temperature is now 58 degrees, it goes through a tremendous shock that it may not recover. And we've had them where we thought we had them hardened off correctly, and they went through a shock, they've lost all their leaves, and then they didn't recover. So you want to keep that in mind. You want to do it right the first time so you don't have to try to go, if you started your seeds and you put all this time into it, you don't want to have to go back and start them again or try to find them somewhere after most people have sold out of them in the garden center. So that's just a small snippet of, is there anything else that we missed that we should cover here? And you don't want to start things like peas either.
Right.
You can start these things in what they call peat pots or peat pellets. There's two downsides to the peat pots and the peat pellets. One is the peat pellets are those expandable little nets of compacted peat moss that contain no nutrient value in them. So the seeds look good for 2 or 3 weeks, and then they start deteriorating in health because there's no nutrient value. So you have to supplement it with a manure tea or some type of liquid fertilizer, organic or inorganic. And you want to do that. If you're going with a fertilizer, you want to go quarter strength of what the recommended rate is on the bottle. If you use a peat pot, that is a molded pot that's made out of peat moss. They're great. But if you plant them, you want to remove the bottom portion. Just tear that peat pot apart at the bottom and then tear the lip apart and then plant it, because that peat pot doesn't break down quick enough over the growing season to allow those roots to break through to get into the soil. So it will break down if you put it, you know, for two years or whatever. It'll break down in time in that. But other than that, it doesn't work very well. Advantages and disadvantages to both of those. Well, when we come back, Emily Murphy, author, when we come back, coming up, author Emily Murphy will be with us with her new book that's coming out, that came out a few days ago.
Just tuning in? Here's what you missed.
Welcome to Season 2 of the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show.
6 reasons why you should not buy your seeds on sites like eBay and Amazon.
The USDA agent came to his house to get the seeds he bought. Starting seeds indoors can be a challenge for some for a few reasons.
We find using a good grow light like the Happy Leaf LED fixes many of the problems that exist.
You have to start out with good potting mix. Things not to start indoors like beets, radishes. Coming up next, author Emily Murphy.
For full shows and highlights, go to thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com. For more gardening information, visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com. But wait, until after the show, we still have more garden information to talk about.
Garden seeds do not have to cost a fortune, just 99 cents at migardener.com. Now with over 450 varieties of non-GMO, heirloom, and organic flower, vegetable, and herb seeds available year-round, pay less and get more seeds. Shipping as low as $2.50. That just makes sense. Go to migardener.com for seeds and garden needs, tools, and special blend fertilizers. migardener.com. It's that simple. Family owned and operated.
I know you're looking for natural and organic food, but at a great price. I found the place. Woodman's has what you need. Woodman's offers a huge natural and organic selection with some of the area's largest organic meat, produce, and dairy departments. Shop consciously, but it won't break the bank. They have aisles of all the organic food, snacks, and treats you've been looking for, so you and your family can eat healthier without overpaying. Visit their Milwaukee area store locations, Kenosha, Menominee Falls, Oak Creek, and Waukesha, or visit woodmans-food.com to find the nearest location to you. Lost Tools wants to help you grow your own food, from seed starting supplies, hand tools, drip irrigation, harvesting equipment, and a complete line of all-natural pest control solutions. They've got you covered. Keep your garden weed-free with their time-tested, American-made wheel hose that are built to last a lifetime. And their precision garden seeders have proven design for planting a wide variety of seeds. Haas Tools has what you need to get the most out of your growing space, large or small. Free shipping and outstanding customer service. Shop online or request a free catalog at HaasTools.com.
Rebel Green, responsibly made natural products that are good for you and the environment. Made in the USA, plant-based, vegan, and always toxic-free. Find out more at rebelgreen.com. Flame Engineering, home of the Weed Dragon, the perfect propane torch kit for home and garden use. For killing weeds, no need to pull or spray. 100 other uses, find out more at flameengineering.com.
Root Assassin, a garden tool that does all the root functions with its advanced shovel that has serrated edges on both sides. Find out more information at rootassassinshovel.com.
Here at Outpost Natural Foods, it's not just that we're community-owned that sets us apart. It's the fabulous foods we sell. We celebrate Earth Day every day by offering our customers the finest natural and organic food selections in Greater Milwaukee. Outpost local farmers and vendors provide our stores with a delicious selection of fresh seasonal produce that you won't want to miss. Outpost stores are located in Milwaukee, Wauwatosa, Bayview, and Mequon. We're a real Milwaukee original where anyone can shop and anyone can join. For the whole scoop about Outpost, we invite you to visit www.outpost.coop.
The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show is brought to you by the following: Flame Engineering, Eco Garden Systems, Bobex, Plant Success Organics, Beans and Barley, MI Gardener, Outpost Natural Food Co-op, Root Assassin, Manure Tea, The Gardener's Hollow Leg. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support.
Looking for the only garden talk radio show on your dial? You found it. The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show with your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
When it comes to garden centers, Blue Mel's has been around since 1955, and they've learned a few things. One thing is that they've learned that anybody can sell seeds and garden supplies and plants. But they also have found out that having a relationship with that customer in which they sold it to is key. Treating them like family is important. And many of the members of the Blue Mel Landscape and Garden Center staff are master gardeners, and they know how to take your garden from ordinary to extraordinary. And whether you're tired of cutting grass, they can do that for you. Or landscape, they can do that for you. Or they have plenty of bulk supply. And Blue Mel's Landscape and Garden Center, the official garden center of the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, can be found where, Holly?
Blue Mel's is at 4930 West Loomis Road in Greenfield, and you can also go to bluemel's.com or call 414-282-4220.
So let's go to the Ivy Organics 3-in-1 Plant Guard Hotline and bring in our next guest.
Emily Murphy is the author of Grow What You Love and of the foodie-centric gardening blog Pass the Pistol and one of Garden Design Magazine's most loved blogs of 2015. Emily is a web series host, a contributor to Better Homes and Gardens, a garden designer, organic gardening consultant, and a teacher of organic gardening. Welcome to the program, Emily.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for taking time and sharing some of your garden knowledge with Holly, myself, and all of our listeners here.
Well, I'm really happy. I'm happy I could be on.
Well, through all of your experiences, why do you think people commonly grow what they don't like to eat? How does that happen?
Isn't that a funny thing that you could spend a whole summer tending to a garden and then end up with tons of green beans or whatever it might be that you're really not interested in eating? It can seem a little bit confusing, I'm sure, but I sometimes think we might end up with crops we'd rather not eat, either because that's what's offered at the nursery when you're buying starts in spring, or those are the seeds you can find, or possibly with something that you grew up, your parents growing or your grandparents growing, which that can work conversely as well. It could be that your grandparents or your parents grew something you actually do love. And I think it's important to try to figure out what those things are. Discover the things you love and focus on growing those plants.
Makes sense.
Right, definitely.
So you use a mulching method called sheet mulching. Many people may not have heard of that. What is that exactly?
So sheet mulching is a great way to tend to soil, especially for an in-ground plot. And it is essentially just adding organic layers to the topsoil or to your lawn or whatever area it is you'd like to turn into a garden. And it's often applied as a layer of cardboard and then compost. And there's some controversy because there are some people that say, well, if you add the cardboard and then the compost, you could create an anaerobic environment, which isn't great for the soil microbes, which is what helps make healthy soil and wonderful and nutritional food. But I found that if you use just a single layer of cardboard and plenty of compost, then it helps prepare that planting area, and it helps make weeding much easier. So if you're trying to rid your garden of invasive plants or even, you know, grasses like Bermuda grass, it can speed that process along while also tending to your soil.
And that's what we were experimenting with last year. We put a tremendous amount of leaves in the garden. So what we've done is took cardboard and laid on the bare soil and then piled the leaves on top of it, trying to rid or smother out those invasive weeds. We have several here in the Wisconsin area that likes to take over the garden quite heavily. So we're trying to mimic that for us.
Right, mimic nature. How did it work for you? Did it work well?
I've looked at the garden right now, and it looks like it's going to work relatively well. So we'll see how this year goes with the cardboard and the leaves on top of it.
Oh, that's exciting. That's exciting. At least maybe it'll be easier to pull up those plants and speed that process along.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the hope. There's a few things you don't want to do. You don't want to do drugs, and you don't want to have too many weeds in your garden. That's kind of what I've been told. Yeah.
All right.
So you talk about the basic ingredients of a garden. What are they?
So the basic ingredients for starting a garden are sun, soil, water, and air. You have to think about when you're first planting your garden. You have to think about how much sun did you receive. In your front yard or your backyard or wherever it might be that you're wanting to grow your garden, the amount of sun you receive, of course, dictates what you can grow. If your plot only has part shade, then you might have to give up your tomato dreams for leafy greens and parsley. But you might find that leafy greens and parsley could be exactly what you're looking for. Soil, of course, tending to your soil. You want to make sure your garden is close to a water source. And with air, it's really important to make sure your plants have good air circulation to help prevent diseases. And, of course, the final ingredient is love, which is something I talk about quite a bit in my book, that when we grow a garden, we're growing more than a garden. We're growing a lifestyle, and that lifestyle is really special.
Well, that's the thing, the lifestyle, that passing the information down from generation to generation, and you're eating healthier, too. You're not, most meals travel about 1,500 miles on average to get to a person's dinner table. So by having all of those in combination, you can feel better about yourself health-wise and do a little bit more better for the environment.
You're exactly right. You reduce your carbon footprint, and you have food right out your door. You don't need to go to the ends of the earth to find something wonderful to eat. You can, plant a few seeds and grow it yourself.
Many people don't realize how important the soil is for your plants. I mean, if you're just an average hobby farmer, you just find some soil, put a plant in it, and you think it's going to grow okay. But they use fertilizer to feed the plant, but you need to feed the soil. What are some simple ways to feed your soil? Obviously, there is some importance to granular fertilizer. We prefer the organic method. But what is some ways to feed your soil?
Well, I tend to use quite a bit of compost. That's sort of my go-to amendment. And compost is great, especially for larger beds, either raised beds that are minimum of like 2 feet. But it's great for any container, I should say, but smaller containers, if you add compost and manures and heavier materials like that, over time the soil can really become compacted and dense, and that makes it hard for your plants to grow. And so the larger your planting area, the more likely it is to mimic nature. And the goal, of course, is to feed the soil, as you're saying. You're feeding the soil ecosystem, these microbes, these things you can't see and the things you can see, whether they be fungi or bacteria or actual critters that are doing the work of decomposing material and making it into something your plants can recognize. So compost is really my go-to. And then I also use things like worm castings and liquid seaweed and a few things like that. I do make manure tea, but that's really, again, as you're saying, a fertilizer to feed my plants. And And the goal, of course, is to feed your soil.
So when you're talking and growing in containers, and we stress this a lot in our talks, is you do have to continue to feed the soil in a container more than in a raised bed or ground, because the leaching, as you water, as it rains, that nutrient runs out. So how do you kind of gauge on when and how much to feed the soil in those situations with a container and the leaching possibilities?
Right, that's a good question. I usually just pay attention to the plants and, of course, the weather. And as you're saying, if it's been especially rainy, or if for some reason the plants have been overwatered and they start to turn yellow, then you know that those nutrients the plants need to grow is probably leached from the soil. And the smaller the container, the more likely I am in that instance to repot it all together and give it a fresh batch of soil, and then feed it occasionally depending upon what it is. But I usually let the plants lead the way. And if they're looking pretty good, then I leave them be. And if they're starting to turn yellow and not looking so great, then I know that's my cue to give them a little bit of care.
And for a hobby gardener, you might want to look at what the plant's telling you and do a little research to find out, okay, is it a disease or is it needing nutrients, so you don't jump the gun and cause more problems potentially than are already existing.
You're exactly right. It all depends upon what you're actually seeing in the plant itself. And there are a few factors, but that's why I suggest to people that they grow just a handful of plants, just to know those plants really well. As you say, doing your research, you get to know those plants really well, and then it helps you troubleshoot down the line.
What was the inspiration behind your book, Grow What You Love?
Yeah, thanks for asking. This book, I've taught, through my work in teaching and writing and, I have discovered that we're wired to grow, and that when we grow the things we love, wonderful things happen. And that was really the jump start for me. I recognized that in my own life, the difference that I was making, being able to focus my attention on the plants that made the biggest difference. And also, when I was teaching in school gardens, I had a couple of experiences. One, where I had a parent volunteering in the garden, and the kids were busy. The kids have it all figured out once given the opportunity to plant and grow. And parent turned to me, and she was realizing how simple and wonderful it was. And she said, "Gosh, if I had known how easy this was, I would have started the garden a long time ago." And it's like, oh, I really need to write this book so I can help people discover this simple joy.
So where can people find the book? Am I right? It just dropped a couple of days ago?
Yeah, the book released March 1st, and it can be found wherever books are sold, your local bookstore or Barnes & Noble or Amazon. It's out there. I hope everyone loves it. It was a true labor of love. A lot of work went into it, so I hope that shows.
Well, it's a phenomenal book, great pictures, not only just a coffee table book, but a educational book for that matter. And you know this, Emily, as much as we do. There's some people that create garden books that are simply just for fun. There's really not an informational, it's more of an entertaining. You have an informational book here that a lot of people can learn a lot of good information no matter where they're at in North America or the world, and we appreciate that.
So much. I really appreciate you saying so. That makes my day.
Well, Emily, thank you very much for taking time out of your day to join Holly and myself and all of our listeners and sharing your information so we all can learn together.
Wonderful. It was great to meet you over the radio.
Absolutely. Stay tuned. After this, we'll be back with your garden questions and our garden answers.
If you have a gardening question, now is the time to call in on the ivorganics.com 3-in-1 Plant Guard Hotline at 414-444-5250.
Do you have a problem with deer or small herbivores eating your vegetation? There is a natural solution that is safe for your pets and family. Bobex is the answer, an environmentally friendly solution to protect your plants, will not wash off, and is guaranteed. Bobex Deer was independently tested against 9 known competitors and rated 93% effective, second only to a physical barrier. Bobex can be used on all types of ornamentals, trees, and shrubs. Ask for it by name at your local independent garden center. Find out more, visit Bobex.com. B-O-B-E-X.com.
Beans and Barley Market and Cafe, a neighborhood specialty grocery store for the east side in greater Milwaukee area, where you can find all you need, from fresh produce to bakery to organic frozen dinners, from wine to fresh squeezed carrot juice, a health food store with hundreds of products, vitamins, supplements, bath and body items, magazines, cards, books, and a knowledgeable staff. Catering available, open daily at 8 a.m. The restaurant serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week with a menu of good, healthy, homemade food, including vegetarian and non-vegetarian specialties. 1901 East North Avenue, Milwaukee, 414-278-7878, and online at beansandbarley.com.
The number one key to healthy, productive plants are the roots. Starting from seed to full-grown plants, RootMaker.com has the answer. From seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots, creating a fabulous root system, never again will you have root-bound plants, to multiple gallon grow bag sizes to raised beds. RootMaker.com has your grow needs covered. Visit RootMaker.com.
The Gardener's Hollow Leg, the debris and harvesting bag you wear, comes with its own belt attachment, perfect for doing light pruning, weeding, harvesting on the ground or on a ladder, and many other uses. Find out more at TheGardenersHollowLeg.com. Save 10% by using the word veggies at checkout. Tall Earth Wood Treatment, all-in-one preservative and stain, offers lifetime protection and creates a unique silver-aged wood finish. All ingredients are non-toxic, eco-friendly, perfect for garden beds and veg trunks. Find out more at TallEarth.com. Free shipping on all orders.
Hi, I'm John Lewandowski, retail manager of Blue Mel's Garden and Landscape Center. Now, I'm not going to tell you about our awesome dome-grown plants, our beautiful pottery, or our 40 varieties of landscape materials. What I am going to tell you is that Blue Mel's is a local, independent, family-owned garden center that truly cares about your garden or landscape project. So if you're looking for that one garden center that actually cares about you, come to Blue Mel's Garden and Landscape Center. We've been treating our customers like family since 1955.
Blue Mel's, 4930 West Loomis Road, 414-282-4220. The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener is brought to you by the following: Handy Safety Knife, BioSafe, Tall Earth, Chapin Manufacturing Incorporated, The Plant Booster, Ivy Organics, Woodman's Market, Blue Mel's Landscaping Garden Center. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support.
Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show with your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
So happy you've joined us on this Saturday morning for the first show of Season 2 of the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. If you've got a question, you're more than welcome to call in on the Ivy Organic 3-in-1 Plant Guard Hotline.
Ivy Organic 3-in-1 Plant Guard naturally protects plants against damaging sunburn, insects, and rodents, protects newly installed plants and trees, shields pruned and damaged surfaces for use on your roses, fruit and nut trees, ornamental trees, and shrubs. This product is non-toxic, environmentally safe, and organic. For more information, visit ivyorganics.com. You can call in right now to our hotline at 414-444-5250. If you've got a gardening question, comments,
or opinion, you can give us a call.
And you can always tweet us at Twitter handle TWVGShow or hashtag TWVG, as well as TWVGShow@gmail.com anytime. And again, if you'd like to sign up for our weekly email where you get everything that we do, tweet TWVG to 345-345. So we've got a number of questions that have come in through email, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. First one is, Holly and Joy, can you suggest a low-acid tomato that would grow well here in Wisconsin? I would like a large slicing tomato, thank you, Richard. So what can we give Richard for some low-acid suggestions for tomatoes?
Definitely a yellow or white tomato, and you might think, I've never heard of those. Well, that's probably because they're not typically
commercially available.
So you would have to start your own season. That's why we're bringing this question up, because we are talking about seed starting. So white or yellow tomatoes, so something like a yellow Brandywine.
Was that a white snowball?
Right. Which is a white cherry, or giant white.
Yeah.
So those are low acid.
And basically the guideline is anything that's not a red tomato is a lower acidity tomato. Red tomatoes are typically have a very good level of acidity to it. So if you want something a little different, then that would be what you want to use.
So that's, yeah, so that's a good question. So somebody asked, I'm making raised beds. I'm in Wisconsin, is 12-inch beds high enough?
12-inch beds are more than enough. Now, if you're going to try to grow something excessive, like parsnips, you want something, you know, natural ground, because they can get 18, 24 inches deep if all conditions are correct.
But just for most regular gardening, 12-inch beds.
Even 8 or 10 would be adequate, because you're not filling it up to the brim. We're not level filling it with the boards on the side of the raised bed. We're wanting about an inch below.
So that's why they say 12-inch, especially for tomatoes. If you have a nice compost in there, those tomato roots could get a little deep, so you definitely want to do that 12 inches.
Right, right.
And I wouldn't go much.
You could squeeze 10 out of it if you want to save a little bit on lumber, but invest and be rewarded later on.
If you're building raised beds, you might as well just invest in that.
Right.
So,
we get this question a lot. What does organic mean? Is it just a fancy term so stores can charge more money for the product?
No, organic means it's grown and raised in organic growing conditions, which is, if it's certified organic, it means a government agency like the USDA has given that certification, which means that it's grown without any chemicals, pesticides, harmful herbicides. Is not just a fancy phrase. It means that it's been certified organic.
It's gone through.
There's a lot of paperwork, a lot of certification, a lot of people, agents randomly doing searches or viewing the operation to make sure.
Now, if you see the phrase natural.
Okay, that's
a
different phrase.
That's definitely a marketing term.
But if it says certified organic.
Well, natural is made from natural ingredients. It's not certified.
People slap natural on anything these days.
It's
just a BS marketing term.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in the day, maybe, but now it's like, this is natural. You know, that a lot of things are natural now. So you definitely want to make sure, if you are choosing to go organic, to look for that organic label.
When seed starting, I have tried seed starting inside and have failed. The plants go to bolt. I have them by a window. What am I doing wrong?
Well, for one, if you have them by a window, they could possibly be too leggy.
Well, they're getting too leggy. I think that's what they're referring to. So there's a couple of issues that can occur here when you're starting your seeds indoors that we didn't cover in the second segment. One is abrupt changes in environmental temperatures. So if you're going from 68 to 80 to 45, that kind of abrupt change, that can cause these plants to go to bolt. And this happens outside as well. You get a real warm day, a real cold day. They go into stress, and they become stressed, and they bolt, which means they go to seed. They're starting their reproductive cycle because they don't believe they can grow through the full duration of their life cycle. So they immediately put seed pods on to carry on the traits to the next generation. Another thing could be underwatering. Or watering it unfrequently, not regularly. By watering too much, watering not enough, letting the plant dry out, putting too water to it, you're stressing the plant out. That can also be a problem as well. So there's a lot of contributing factors to why your plants may bolt indoors. We've had this happen with celery a couple of years ago, and it was from forgetting to water the seedling and then watering it and then putting it through a stress cycle where the seed pods did occur on the plant. All right, so what about this one here? How long does it take jicama to grow? I'm upstate New York, but did not know that you could grow them. I thought they needed a longer season. I look forward to the garden results that you are going with.
So,
first, what's jicama?
Jicama is a root crop. It's from South America, and it's kind of like a less starchy potato with like a little sweeter, similar to an apple. It's really good raw. You can eat it raw, or you can put it. I guess you can cook it. I mean,
you've never cooked it. You've just ate it. You've ate it like an apple. You've peeled it and ate it. You can also make jicama fries. I do know that.
Okay.
So that's what a jicama is. And it prefers full sun and a fair amount of space, like a tomato, but it is a root crop. It can be planted outside once it's hard enough. Now, what will happen is that it does need about 4 months
to get small
roots. So are we going to get some giant jicama? Probably not, but we're going to get some.
Jicama in tropical areas or warm climate areas, southern United States, South America, 9 months is what's required to get a full up to 9-pound root. Here, 4 months, we should be able to get at least a half pound to a pound root if all conditions are correct. So that's what we're doing. Holly likes them. We're going to make the attempt. We've seen, we've read, we've researched, and people say that it can be done. So we're going to take a shot at it and see what we can make happen.
And you also will, you pinch off the seeds and the flowers.
Yeah, everything is poisonous on the plant except for the root. The leaves, the seeds, the flowers, all poisonous except for that tuber that forms later in the year when the daylight gets about 9 hours and shorter. That's when that root develops. So something to keep in mind
there.
Shout
out to the people that figured this out a long time ago. So can you use cinnamon on other seed starting besides brassicas? I have problems with mold on the top of my seed starting mix. You said it has antifungal properties. We sprinkle cinnamon.
We didn't say that. That was in a video. That right. was a response to. Cinnamon has, yes. When you start your seeds or any seeds, you can sprinkle regular kitchen cinnamon, dusting on it, and it actually has antifungal properties which will eat away or disrupt the fungal on top of the seed starting mix. If you overwater it, fungal mold can develop, even at the microscopic level. Using that cinnamon will keep that away. That also will prevent a disease called damping off, which actually eats away at the stalk of your seedling and causes them to fall over and die. So that combination of the cinnamon will help prevent both of those when it comes to damping off and fungals or mold on the top of your seed starting mix. Let's go with...
Well, there's a question. There was also a compliment. You spoke about the Happy Leaf Grow Light. I rate for brassicas to prevent legginess. I do not have a Happy Leaf at this time. It's still a good time to start my brassica plant. Here's a compliment. Also caught you guys at the Garden Expo in Madison. I really enjoyed your presentation. You've definitely got a fan in me. We're not on the air at this time when we go to the Garden Expo in Madison, but if you get a chance and you think about it next February, we always speak there. It's the second weekend in February in Madison.
So with the Happy Leaf and the brassicas, yes, you can start your brassicas now. We've got our Brussels sprouts, our cabbage, and our kale started. The Happy Leaf does a tremendous job to prevent legginess, but you do not necessarily need that, as I spoke about in the second segment. You don't need a grow light to start seeds indoors. We did it for a number of years with a west-facing window, and things worked fine. But in anything in life, if you put a little money towards it, invest it, work, make the project or the job a little easier by getting products or items that help for that specific endeavor, then it does make a tremendous difference. And again, we have that coupon code available on the website with that. Brassicas, broccoli, cauliflower. Now, the brassicas like kohlrabi, that's a brassica. You want to direct sow that. You don't want to start that indoors. Some people do. It's just easier to direct sow it, and that takes 50 to 60 days based on if you're the white variety or the red variety in that. Let's see. This happens when you plant... that's another. How do you keep your carrots so long? All right, how do you store your carrots so long? We harvest them in midsummer last year, and we're still using them.
Right. So what we did is that...
We posted this picture. This question came because we posted on social media that we were still using it for a roast.
Right.
We were putting carrots and onions and potatoes in our roast, and that's where this question derived from.
So what we do is that first we don't clean the dirt off the carrots. That dirt acts as a natural barrier, I guess. So that's one thing, is that it's happy in their home. We don't rinse the carrots off before we store them. And then we simply just store them in plastic bags, like zip-top bags, in our fridge.
Yeah, in the bottom of the crisper. And, yes, they do get some green tops on them. They do get some roots that start to develop, some hairy roots. Just cut and peel those off, and you're perfectly fine.
Yeah, we
both ate that stew, and we're okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we appreciate you tuning in this week to the program. Programming note, join us next week. We're going to talk about building your soil on the cheap and free. 5 things you should know before you picking your seeds. We went over why not to pick your seeds from certain sites today. We're going to go over 5 reasons why what you need to know before you pick your seeds next week, as well as author of Midwest Medicinal Plants, Lisa Rose, will be with us. She's an herbalist and a forager. Miss any portion of this show or want to revisit it in entirety or special guest post interviews, find all that under the radio tab on the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com website. For
Hi there.
I'm Joy Barrett, and until next week, we will see you in the garden.
You have been listening to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. Tell a friend and join Joey and Holly again next week so we can all grow together. The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show is a production of the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com in association with WI Garden Media Broadcasting, live from the WNOV 860 AM and the W293CX 106.5 FM, Courier Communications Studios in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.